So actually what I've learned in marketing is, it's very easy, right? You have to have a quality product. You have to have a product which is desired by the market, right? And you have to have the right numbers. So market what you have, and also you must be able to deliver at the end of the day.
If maybe a farmer liaises with you to start maybe their poultry business, by the time they finish, they produce their chicken, you buy the chicken from them and also maybe the eggs from them, so that all they just need to take care of is the production of this product.
I always create content to enable to create awareness to startup farmers to say it is possible, you can do it. Rearing of chickens is easy, and you have got all the resources through my platform. So this is where I get my customers from, the content which I create on social media. My name is Nomo Nema, the founder and director of Nema Chickens and Hatcheries, an indigenous poultry company founded in 2017. Actually, we have got 23 breeds in our stock, which are indigenous chickens, which we are breeding in Zimbabwe, and we're also marketing around the regional countries.
Would you like to let me know how you started in farming? Help me understand that.
Actually, I started out of passion, and actually the journey is quite funny. I was just an ordinary person, just working, and I saw a colleague who was just doing actually some roadrunners, the boy show breeds. I was buying actually meat, chickens for meat every month. Then I asked him to breed some chicks for me, and I bought 43 chicks, and I put them in our rural area in Mashingo. That's when I gave my mother to rear the chickens. And after 6 months, they started laying very well. And I bought an incubator, 1,200 capacity, and started hatching my own chicks. And the first hatch was 35%, but I was determined to get more. The next hatch was very good, 75%. And I started marketing on social media. And most of our clients actually were in Harare, and the business was booming. And actually, I started developing more breeds to where I am right now.
That is interesting. But did you already have a kind of a background knowledge in production of poultry before, or did you actually start at that moment?
In terms of background, my mother was a farmer, actually a master farmer in Mashingo. So we would do crops, but obviously the chickens were just roaming around as roadrunners. But actually, I didn't have any background. Actually, I'm an HR person, but I developed the passion of breeding. And I've realized along the way that breeding is something which is me. And breeding requires patience. I'm one person who is very patient. I'm looking toward the future. And I've learned that you can commercialize chickens, indigenous chickens. You can commercialize them. And it takes patience for you to rear indigenous chickens since they take 6 months. So it takes a passion for you to start something.
All right, take passion to start. That is good. But tell me a bit about, because we are going to be talking about marketing today, about how you market your poultry product and all of that. How do you approach the marketing? Let's put it like that. How do you approach the marketing of your poultry products?
You know, I'm taking advantage of the global space. I'm taking advantage of the social media. As I can tell you right now, I've started marketing my poultry products on social media. I opened a Facebook page in 2018, and to date, it has got 27,000 followers. So every day, I post three posts, and I post the real breeds. I don't do internet pictures. I post original breeds, which Nema Chickens does. So on marketing, I leverage on social media through the WhatsApp platforms. I'm in over 200 groups of poultry farming. That's why I market my products, even in the diaspora, there are groups which will market. So every day, I always get payments through Remit, through Mukuru, due to marketing on social media. So I would say my major market is through social media. So no one can give actually an excuse to say there is no market. Let's take advantage of social media to market our products. Every day I post on social media, I post on Facebook, I get likes, I get comments, I got inquiries and bookings, and actually we are doing business transaction. And also through the social media, you've got your local people who come actually as walking. And also we have got NGOs who see our social media and come and give us big tenders through the social media. So I would say my major market is on social media.
Mm, all right. So you do the marketing yourself, or maybe do you also consult with people who help you to approach the marketing for your poultry business? Could you say anything about that?
I would say I've realized that I'm a marketer myself. I do the marketing. If you go on Nema Chicken's page, it's me who does the marketing. And after my work from 7 to 12, I will be doing marketing. I create my own content. If you want to market breaker syrup, I go create my own content. I develop the content based on my experience in terms of the laying egg, in terms of the egg production, and also its characteristics. So I'm the one who does all the marketing.
All right. Now, that is something I'm sort of thinking, that there are some people out there who might be also in poultry business. They might be right there in Zimbabwe or in another part of Africa or in the world who are into poultry production, but they don't know how to do the marketing. And of course, as you will understand, and as a marketer yourself, if you don't do marketing, you are not going to get a good return in what you are doing, because marketing is actually the business itself. So from there, I would like to ask you, where do you see the role of marketing? Actually, what is the role of marketing in poultry business?
The role of marketing is to be able to attract the customer, is to be able to attract and excite the customer. Actually, in marketing, what I've learned is you have to be realistic. You have to be originator of every content which you do. You have to market your product, which you have. So actually what I have learned in marketing is, it's very easy, right? You have to have a quality product. You have to have a product which is desired by the market, right? And you have to have the right numbers. So market what you have, and also you must be able to deliver at the end of the day. Don't overpromise, but you must be able to satisfy the expectation of the customer. So I would say the role of marketing is to able to attract the customer.
Now, you are marketing your business, your poultry product to customer. But how do you define your target audience? How do you know who to market to, instead of just maybe bringing out your content there and just distributing it online? Because, of course, there are a lot of online places where people can put content out there. But now I want to believe that you are targeting a specific people. You are not just throwing it out there. Or of course, you could help me understand that. But my question is in line with, how do you define your target audience so that you have certain type of people that are responding to you? So because you are not marketing to people that are buying pigs, for example. Yeah, please go.
My target audience is everyone. So with marketing, especially on social media, you are able to attract the commercial farmer. You are able to attract the new entrants. You are also able to attract the diaspora. You are able to attract the NGOs. You are able to attract the government departments. So how do I identify this? I follow on all social media pages, actually on the Facebook, for example, Ministry of Agriculture. I also follow NGOs. I also follow poultry groups in Botswana, in Zambia, in South Africa. So this is how I then categorize. So whenever I post actually my content, I then share actually my content in those groups. So I then, with one actual advert, I'm able to then access all the markets in one click. So which means I'll be sharing to actually groups in Botswana, I'll be sharing to agricultural groups, actually, and also government departments, such as Ministry of Agriculture, and also even the NGOs.
But where are your buyers actually coming from? Are they coming from the content that you share on these groups, or are they coming from other places? From your analysis, where do you think your buyers are mostly coming from?
Yeah, actually, my buyers, they're coming from the content which I create. And I create exciting content. If you want to market a certain breed, you have to actually explain what's on its characteristics and also in terms of its laying rate and also in terms of its rate of growth. Because what is important is a customer has got certain expectations. So you should be able to meet the expectations of the customer. So normally, I don't just market for the sake of pushing my products. Sometimes I even create content about disease management, HR management, brooding, so that I'm able to assist even a startup farmer before they start, they have an appreciation of what is required of raising chickens, especially from chick to chicken. So I always create content to enable to create awareness to startup farmers to say, it is possible, you can do it. Rearing of chickens is easy, and you have got all the resources through my platform. So this is where I get my customers from, the content which I create on social media.
All right, that is interesting. Now, you talk of, we are coming back to marketing, but because you talk of disease, do you want to share anything about that? Say maybe, for example, you want to talk about disease in your content. What do you usually, how do you usually present that? Is it like, now let's put it like this. What kind of content do you actually create? Is it like a video, post or images? Can you share something in that line that sort of give you a good return on investment?
All right. Actually, in terms of content, I create actually videos of the chickens which I rear. I take about 3 minutes, 2 minutes videos, which I shot and also catching. I also send pictures, pictures of the chickens which I create. And also in terms of content, I write content in terms of disease. I write content in terms of how do you treat those diseases in terms of the antibiotics which you use. And also on certain viruses, for example, Newcastle, how do you administer Newcastle virus? And at what period? Coryza, how do you administer Coryza? And sometimes we even take videos and demonstrate how you administer Coryza. The same way with also IBD and the causes of IBD as well as the treatment in terms of vaccination. So this is what is also eye-catching on the client, because we are real. I would say what is important in this business is you have to market the product which you own, not to market internet pictures. So even you must then be able to present solution to your customers to say, I know my business. My business is on the fingertips.
Let's speak to somebody who is interested in setting up a poultry business in Africa, because our target audience here are mostly people in the diaspora who are interested in setting up business, either in the diaspora or back home in Africa. Somebody want to get into poultry business. Where should this person start from your experience?
What is important is you must be able to know the breeds which you want. For example, Neman chickens have 23 breeds. So what is that is you then ask to say which breed is best for a startup farmer. For example, Black Castle. This is the best breed for a startup farmer, followed by Sasso Tirembo. Because one, they are hard chickens. They are resistant to disease. They are very good egg laying. They are hybrids, which means they are dual purpose breeds. You can do egg production. You can do meat production. So it's important to do a feasibility study, and we are there to assist you as Nema Chickens. And also, I want to take this opportunity to advise that we are working with the diaspora farmers. We are taking over 1,000 birds. We have got contract farming arrangements whereby Nema Chickens supplies chickens to the farmer at a cost as well as feed and antibiotics. Then we then buy fertilizing eggs when they reach maturity at the point of lay. So you buy all the products, whether you want to sell your fertile eggs or your point of lay. So we have got a market on our own. So farmers must not be scared to start this business. As long as you buy the pure bloodline from the chickens, we have the market for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So you mean, I want you to explain this part again. If maybe a farmer liaises with you to start maybe their poultry business, By the time they finish, they produce their chicken, you buy the chicken from them and also maybe the eggs from them, so that all they just need to take care of is the production of this product. Could you help me understand that?
Actually, what we do is, because of the demand, you cannot do it alone. You have to have some certain arrangements where you have got out growers. We supply the pure bloodline at a cost, as well as the feed and vaccines. You keep it the farmer. Then at maturity, we then buy because of the market. So what we've realized mostly is that farmers, they want to start a chicken business, but what they don't have is the market. Nema Chickens is now a renowned indigenous chicken producer. So we are saying we have for the market. We supply you the chicks, we buy the chickens from you, or we buy fertile eggs, which we then hatch and sell the chicks to the market. What we don't buy are chicks from other producers. We buy chicks from our own bloodline. So we have got the supply of chicks to you, then we buy the chickens at maturity. So the farmer, what you do just is for you to keep the chickens at maturity. You've got the money, we pay you.
And that is good. And how much do somebody need to have to be able to start this franchise, this business with you?
The minimum chicks which you can supply to a farmer is 200 chicks. And with $1,000, you can raise 200 chicks up to maturity. So it's not a lot of money. And in terms of return, it's 100%. Because who will be buying this chickens at $10 a bed? So in terms of fertile eggs, we buy the fertile eggs at $6 a crate. This is very profitable compared to the normal non-fertile egg, which is table eggs, which are being sold in the market for $3.50. With Nema Chickens, we buy fertile eggs at $6.
All right. Now, you talked of the diaspora. Now, could you maybe expatiate a bit about that? Which part of the diaspora, which countries in the diaspora are you mostly working with? Because people that are watching you now, some of them are also in the diaspora, and they might like to work with you. Could you share with us more about that?
I will mention in terms of countries, we are dealing with diaspora from Canada, Australia, New Zealand, America. The majority are from the United Kingdom. We've got also South Africa, which is just reaching now, Zambia, and Botswana. So our major market is from Australia and United Kingdom. So we are dealing with a lot of diasporans right now, and those who can watch, they can even testify through the chatbot that we have been dealing with Nema Chickens. Just as we are speaking right now, I got an inquiry yesterday where a client has paid 1,200 chicks. And right now, I was just talking to one client in South Africa. We have just booked 1,000 chicks. So these are the markets which are dealing with, especially in the diaspora.
Oh, right. That's interesting. That's very interesting. And how does it make you feel being able to make this connection with people in the diaspora and, of course, other farmers in Africa who you are happy to get into business? Of course, I'm coming there just now more. But tell me, how does this make you feel as a pioneer in your field, in your line of business?
To be honest, I feel good. You know, I've chartered the uncharted territory. To be honest, as you can see, Nema Chickens is the biggest indigenous chicken producer. We have commercialized indigenous chickens, and it feels me good to be one of the entrepreneurs in Zimbabwe who has managed to impact the poultry sector. And also, this poultry sector is also gotten some interest from the people in the diaspora who are investing back home. And as I can tell you right now, most of the poultry feed producers now, they are producing 40% of feed for indigenous chickens, because it has impacted the country. And it makes me feel good to see even roadrunners in supermarkets right now in Zimbabwe. It makes me feel good that roadrunners are impacting, and people are now interested in health and lean meat. So it makes me feel that I've managed to impact the market. I've managed to come up with a product which the market wants, and also which the market is very quite sure that this is a health. And you know what? People are now health conscious. Gone at the time when people used to eat chickens with too much fat. Indigenous chickens, they are lean, they are tasty, they are healthy. Let's go for organic chicken. So I'm proud to be introducing the organic chicken in the market. And all over the world.
Thank you very much for that, Noma. I appreciate that. When you say indigenous chicken, indigenous poultry, could you expand on that? What do you mean indigenous? Could you help people to understand that more?
Okay. I would just say indigenous. In our local language, we call them roadrunners. These are chickens which are able to free range their own to have natural pasture without having to give GMO feeds. You feed on them on organic. They are actually, in terms of also the timelines to, in terms of maturity, they take 6 months compared to actual GMOs, which are mature at 6 months. So what it means is these are organic chickens which are able to free range. And what we can say is they are healthy, they are lean, they are tasty, and also you are able to actually raise them freely without, and you can raise them at a cheaper cost because you don't need a lot of feed to supplement their feeding.
Okay, so this chicken that you are producing, of course, people can see some of them in the video. Are they local? I mean, are they traditional of Zimbabwe, or maybe they are imported from other parts and they get there, but they have stayed there for a long time, so they have become localized to the climate, to the people. Can you tell me like the origin of these chickens?
I would say we have got both the local chickens and also the exotic chickens which we have imported outside the country. And most of the origin, for example, the black antelope is from Australia. But it can withstand the time, the test of time. It can also withstand every climatic conditions. For example, if you note, the black antelope was once used for egg laying here in Zimbabwe in the 1970s and also 1980s. But it has somehow vanished, but we have brought it back here in the market. So others are coming from America, like the Jersey Giants. But the reason why we call them indigenous or actually free-range chickens is that they are able to free-range on themselves. We don't need to give much of the actual GMO food. We give organic food. Even if you look at the type of feed which they eat, it's roadrunner feed, which means it's organic feed. In terms of the breeds, we have got 23 breeds. And the majority of them, they're indigenous. And also, most of, or a few, I would say, they are coming from outside the country. So being coming from outside the country does not make it actually not indigenous. These are exotic, coming from foreign countries, but we have adapted them to these climatic conditions. And in terms of the time frame of growth, it's just 6 months, just like the indigenous chickens here.
All right, that's very good. That's very good. That's interesting. Now, talking of the consumption, can you tell me like how much chicken or eggs are actually consumed in the Zimbabwe market, for example? Okay, I'm trying to understand how huge the demand. Okay, Zimbabwe now is a population of about 16 million people, which is not very huge, but of course that is still very substantial in terms of a market. So tell me about the consumption within Zimbabwe as a country, people that are consuming chicken and eggs. Tell me more about that.
Okay, I could give statistics in terms of numbers of how many beds are consumed per year. It is, but what I can tell you is in a week, you'd see people eating chicken four times. In terms of egg, this is for breakfast. So every day you'd see a middle income person eating an egg a day. So this translates to the actually the demand of chickens. And people are high with conscience, and most of their meals are chicken. People are running away from beef, and you say they want white meat. So I would say a chicken is eaten four times a week. Out of 7 days, definitely a person will be eating four times a week. So that will give you the statistics to say out of this 16 million population, you would see if you are saying four times in 7 days, it translates to a better number.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is so true. Even here in Europe, for example, a lot of people are being encouraged to eat chicken. In fact, my wife consume produce food with only chicken. It's only recently, I was saying, because for over 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, we hardly ever eat red meat. I would say, okay, maybe sometime we can just add a bit of red meat because we just buy chicken. That is what we cook with in order. Because I think the white meat is better than this red meat all the time. Yeah. So I sort of relate to what you're saying, that people are eating, a lot of people are eating chicken. Yeah.
I agree with you. Even if you look at the market, look at this chicken in, you can slice in. You know, chicken is everywhere. It's being, actually, I think it's now the meal of the day. I've never seen, actually, the fast food selling more of beef than chicken. So 90% of actually meat is chicken.
Yeah, that's so true. And that really make it a viable business opportunity for people, even for those that might not necessarily be producing, but even for distribution, for the processing of the meat. Because we can talk about also the product that are coming from chicken, because it's not necessarily only just the meat and the eggs. There are a lot of things that can come out of that. I don't know if you want to spend some time there in terms of the secondary product that can come out from poultry. If you want to say anything about that.
Yeah, actually, the poultry sector is a billion-dollar economy, and it's a billion-dollar industry. And chicken is good products. For example, from the chicken, you'll get your manure, which is then used in farming. In terms of vegetables, your maize, it is, you can put chicken manure in that production. And also, when you hatch your eggs, they are what we call the infertile eggs. They, do you know that people use that to breed dogs? The eggs which you have not hatched in the hatchery, you can then breed dogs. You mix with your spaghetti, you mix with your mince. It's very good for puppies. It's very good for breeding dogs. And besides, you know, the chicken feathers, they can be also be used for making pillows, even the chicken feet. Very, 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 very good, actually, in terms of the meat side of it.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. In terms of the market, because we are talking of largely about the marketing for poultry product, chicken product, and of course, we are looking at your example here today. I don't know if you also sell into larger markets in Africa. I don't know, maybe like South Africa or like Nigeria, for example, which is, of course, the largest population in the continent with over 200 million people. That's certainly, there is a lot of consumption there in terms of poultry product. Of course, I know that there are a lot of big players in Nigeria, but of course, there is opportunity for you to enter. Why not? So I'm trying to understand if you do supply to this bigger market in Africa.
Yeah, actually, we are supplying already in Africa. Like I mentioned, that we have got customers in Botswana, Zambia, South Africa, Malawi, Mozambique, Ghana. We have not yet supplied Nigeria. Actually, I've been having inquiries from Nigeria, but actually, I have not penetrated yet in that market. So we are looking towards setting actually offices there, but actually, our biggest challenge is financing. You know, to be honest, if you have access to financing, I tell you, I'm determined to break through in all these regional countries. I'm determined. So what the challenge is actually right now is financing, but we are supplying actually these countries while we're in Zimbabwe.
That's interesting. Looking at from where you started and where you are today, we can see you going to more places. Why not? That is the sky is your limit. In fact, you don't even have a limit, no?
That's true.
Yeah. Now, there is also another thing that I found very interesting in your conversation, your explanation before, which is, it appeared to me that you do consulting for poultry farmers. You help them to get started. You tell them how to get started. You sort of guide them on the way. Is that something that you do? Can you say something more about that?
Yes, actually, we have got training programs which we do every Saturday to our farmers and also to those who want to start actual poultry. It's just a very considerable fee. We train from chick to chicken. When I'm talking of chick to chicken, from brooding up to point of laying. So we take you through the journey of poultry farming. And also we do one-on-one, actually consultants, and we even if you want to visit us to visit your farm, we can come and actually do consultants in terms of how you build your forums, the directions, and actually in terms of the roof, for in terms of also the height, in terms of your floors, and also in terms of biosecurity, we do technical extension services. So we want to ensure that the farmer is properly trained so that they are adequately resourced in terms of knowledge, skills, and abilities when they start the poultry project.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, tell me, you meet, say maybe, for example, you want to talk to a young poultry farmer, maybe in Ghana, or maybe in South Africa, or maybe in Botswana. You want to help this individual get started. What are some of the prerequisites you usually recommend for the person? And then, of course, you will guide him or her through in the process. Tell me about what are the things that this individual need to set up to get it to be successful in the poultry business.
Yeah, actually, for you to be successful in this poultry business, I will be very honest. You need to know the type of chicken which you start with. If you are a startup farmer, you need to start with actually a commercial breed, which is Blacker Solop, Sasserton Tillenbo, or the Boschwood. Because this one, I'm telling it commercial because it's cheaper actually to start with in terms of purchasing it, and it's also easy to raise. You don't need to start with what we call special breeds like your Brahma, the Motored Orpington, the Godless, and because this one are very expensive. They are going for $5 a chick. So you can't start with a bed which costs $5 a chick when you know the nitty-gritties in the raising poultry. So you start small, and you develop your skills as you go, then you also increase. Like in my case, I started small. I started with only 73 chicks with the Boschwood breed. And now we have 23 breeds, because this is acquired over the years. And I would want to repeat to say, poultry is patient. You have to be patient. You don't want to start a business now and you want to reap tomorrow. A successful business takes years to grow. A successful business takes years for you to make money. We have to treat chicken business as a real business. We have to commercialize actually this business. That's so true.
All right, now tell me about something, because when we're talking about the Nigerian market just now, you did make mention of finance, which is actually true. In our business, we are setting up a strategy that we are developing where we intend to connect farmers in Africa, or actually not only farmer businesses in Africa, let's put it generally, and businesses in the West. So we are looking for a way to connect. So what we are doing is to look for a way to transport money from the diaspora to African businesses, so that these businesses in Africa can also compete. So we know, we understand that there is need for financing for African businesses. So tell me, how do you address that? Maybe when the people that you are helping to get started in poultry come with this challenge, because I know from our research that this is one of the biggest challenges that many African farmers have, whether for poultry or for other type of farming.
Yes, actually, financing is the biggest challenge. So for me, I started small. I started from my own personal savings, which I was getting from my salary. I would save almost 40% of whatever I get every month, and I started small. So the profits which I then get are the ones which I invest back, actually, in the business. I would want to advise that never eat business money. When you are starting a business, you must be determined and you must run it professionally. You must not mix business money and family money. So whatever savings you are then doing from your profits, you then need to reinvest back in the business. But I would say for us to be able to realize our potential, we need to have access to financing. There's importance for our actually government to identify actually potential farmers. And how do you identify potential farmers? You have to go on the ground to see what these farmers are doing. You have to also examine their books and also see their poultry operations, so that you'll be able to also identify to see there's a return. Actually, even when it comes to loans, we are able also to pay back. So I would repeat that financing is the challenge. If you are financed, if you are given loans, we are able to do exceedingly more and also penetrate actually the global space.
Thank you for that. Tell me about the analysis of your marketing. Because now you are marketing your poultry business, you are going to get a good return on investment on that. That is why you are in business. If there is no return on investment, it is difficult to remain in business. But how do you analyze that? Help me understand it.
Actually, it's the responses from the customer. Actually, I think that's the biggest too. And right now, even among the breeds, when you post the reviews which you get, actually from the customers, from the followers, actually are able to tell me to say this breed is the one which the market actually likes. And also, we also analyze based on the sales which we make on daily. You can see among the 23 breeds, actually you have your top selling breeds. So these are one of the trends which we then use to analyze in terms of our market, to say our market wants more of the black antelope, our market wants more of the Boschwild and the Tirimbol. These are the top breeds which are actually bought by our customers. So we then thrive to increase those breeds.
Now, have you ever talked to maybe some farmers that you are coaching, that you are happy to get started, and they will share with you some of their challenges? Of course, I didn't make mention of finance before, but finance is probably not the only thing that hold people back from starting their own poultry business. I don't know if you can share with me some of the challenges that they have that they share with you, that maybe other people might have that are holding them back.
Yeah, actually, the major challenge which our farmers have is issue of diseases. You know, in as much as we try to actually treat these diseases, they are what we call environmental factors which affect poultry, especially viruses. So on these challenges, we then equip them in terms of training them to have strict biosecurity. What is very important is to ensure that when you have got a poultry venture, you don't allow visitors to come to your fowls. You never allow visitors, because most of the visitors, they are coming from poultry sites. For example, some will be keeping ducks, some will be keeping guinea fowls, some will be also keeping geese. And these actually, they come with certain diseases. So these are the major challenges which we are affecting our contractors and farmers, the issue of biosecurity.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Now, we talk about poultry business. We talk about marketing specifically. Okay, now let's say poultry business in general. What do you think are the three main factors that a poultry farmer need to consider for them to be successful in their poultry business?
Okay. In terms of poultry, the three main things which you have to consider is, one, what is important is when you take your chicks as day olds, you must strictly do proper brooding of chicks. The first 2 weeks are very vital for the life of the chicks. Actually, these are what we call the critical stages. When you miss it at 2 weeks, actually, it then determines the growth rate of the chicks. So when you are brooding, make sure that you have adequate supply, make sure that the chicks have got adequate water, clean, fresh water, make sure that the chicks are properly fed and feed them with the right feed. Then the second factor is vaccination. Make sure that your chicks are properly vaccinated. Prevention is better than cure. It's cheaper to prevent than to cure. A vaccine is cheaper than an antibiotic. So ensure that you vaccinate your chicks. Then the third factor is ensure that you follow the proper feeding program. When you miss it at feeding, you are probably able then to come up with an underweight chicken. If you are advised by a consultant to feed your chicks, say, 50 grams a day, make sure that you give them 50 grams a day. If you are feeding 30 grams a day, ensure that you feed them 30 grams a day. Because why we are saying so? Chickens, they have to mature at 5 months. So if you underfeed, you see that you double the time which they should have actually matured. So you have to have proper feeding is the last thing.
Thank you so much for that, Norman. I appreciate your sharing here. How can people find you, those who want to maybe learn more about what you are doing, and why not become your business partner?
Yeah, actually, we are found on our Facebook page, Nema Chickens and HREs. Just type Nema Chickens and HREs. You will find and follow us and like us. We are also on YouTube. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. It's Nema Chickens and HREs. Actually, our contact details are also in 072-899-862 or on 81-0715-284-837 0715-283-837. Actually, that's our contact details. In terms of our address, we are number 4 Plymouth Road, Southampton, Harare. Number 4 Plymouth Road, Southampton, Harare.
Thank you so much for that. Now, what would be your final thought here to conclude the conversation? Maybe a message, maybe an advice, maybe something you wanted to say I did not ask you. This is the final one. Please go.
My final advice to would be farmers that is serious money in poultry. There is money in poultry business. I'm saying start now. There is market, like I've said, Nema Chickens, they've got market for you. Right now, as we are, I'm speaking, there's a tender from FAO, which is going for, which they want 100 chickens. So we are saying indigenous chickens is impacting the world. Join us, be our partner in ensuring that we feed the nations. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. That is really, really very encouraging. Letting people know that, yeah, this is something that they can get into, no?
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, brother.